This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Good morning, Bridges Church. Good to see you guys. Glad that you're here. We serve a great and awesome God, don't we? What a great to worship together today, and just glad that you're here. And before we start on the message today, I want to just talk to you as a church, as a family. Have you ever been through a valley before, difficult times? I mean, if you're alive, you have, right? We all go through difficult times. And one of the things that we've always wanted to do as a church, be upfront and just honest and candid with you as a church. And we're going through a kind of a tough valleys in a number of different ways. And so this week, we were just going to call for a day of prayer and fasting. And just a time to focus on the Lord, just to catch you up. An email went out last week just saying that for the last few months, for the beginning of our fiscal year, we haven't met budget. And we prayed, we froze and stuff, and we thought, well, one thing we want to do is turn to the Lord. And so that's what we're going to do. This is what we're about as a church. He turned to God. He turns graves into gardens, right? We believe that. We don't just sing it. So we see him at work. The other thing that we're dealing with as a church is one of our launch team members, meaning we launched 16 years ago. Colleen Bennett, she had an aneurysm last Saturday. She was at the gym, if you haven't heard, collapsed. She hasn't woken up and since that time. She's stabilized. We're keeping contact with her. We're praying for them. Her husband, Sean, as well. So we wanted to kind of turn that over to the Lord as well and just say, you know, this is how we solve problems as a church. This is how we face difficulties, is we don't, like, get worried or, you know, like, fret, like the sky is falling. It's all crashing down. Instead, we turn to the God who can do anything. And that's what we're going to do. Today, in the back of the seats, we've had these before. They've been floating out as a prayer card because we know that we're not the only ones facing difficult times. You probably are too, or know someone who has. So what we're asking you to do is to fill out the prayer card today, write a prayer request, something we can be praying for you. And just as a church, we're going to turn to the Lord. And fill this out and then put it on the way out. There's a little box by the door. You just put it in there. And this week, our prayer team will be praying for you, our staff, our leadership. And you guys too. And then this Thursday, we're just going to call for a day of prayer and fasting, just stopping everything we're doing and asking the Lord to work. So the building will be open from 6 to 7 a.m. in the morning, from noon to 1, and also from 6 to 7 at night. We'll put this out as an email just to say, come and pray about anything, not just about money or what we're dealing with, but also any needs. So if you're not getting emails and stuff, want to find out about these things, put your email on this card, turn it in at the end of the service. But our God is a great God, and we're just trusting him. We're going to see this through, and he's going to get the glory and honor from this. But this is who we are as a church. We're people who said we're relying on the Lord God to take care of us. So I want to pray now, and if you have anything in your heart that you want God to work in your life, let's pray about that right now. So let's pray. Father God, you are Jehovah Jireh. You do provide everything that we need, everything that we're ever going to need. You know our needs before we speak it. And right now, we pray over Sean and Colleen. Just pray for Colleen's healing. We pray for you to touch her heart and her brain. And thank you for the doctors and all those who love her. And we just pray for the blood to dissipate from her brain so she can wake up and then begin recovery. And we pray for a full recovery for her and just thank you for her ministry. I lift up Sean as he's going this through this with her as well. And just strengthen him, encourage him and the rest of their family too. And I pray over the church. We go through valleys sometimes, and we go through dark times, so the light that you shine is even brighter. So thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I pray over each person that's here today that may be dealing with different things in their life. And may we use this week as a chance to turn to you, look to you as our Heavenly Father, and may we know you in a better way, in a better place, in a better heart, because of this time. May you get the glory, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. We'll keep you up to date on things, and then let us know how you're doing with your prayer needs as well, and please turn those cards in today. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 10, we're continuing our focus this year on Jesus. We are about Jesus, knowing him, following him. Who was he? Who is he? How do we know him? How can we know him more in a deeper way? Our theme this year is devoted to Christ, his church, and his mission, and I hope that you've been diving into that. And then as you came in, if you wanted a paper copy, there's an outline there. You can find it on our app. You can also look on it through the QR code, which is behind me right now, if that's the easiest way to access the Word of God. And as you're doing that, as you're getting ready, just want to start with a word that God's been kind of hammering in on my life. I don't know if he's ever done this with you, but you ever go someplace and you hear a word or you get a concept, and you go to a different place and hear the same thing, and then maybe you hear it another place and you hear it there. I'm going to start off with a weird place that I heard this. It was the Bobby Bones show. Yes, I do listen to Bobby Bones sometimes. And two or three weeks ago, I was listening to that, and they had Philip Phillips on there. And you have to go back a few years to know Philip Phillips, 2012 American Idol winner. Does anybody know Philip Phillips? Okay. Yeah, some guys do. He was on, and he has a new album out. It's been a while. And they had him play his big hit. And his big hit was this word that we're going to talk about today, is the word home. And when I heard the song, I haven't heard that from a long time. But in 2012, it was everywhere. It was in ads. It was in movies, on TV shows. It was still the number one American Idol song ever, over 5 million copies. And it's a really simple song, and I'm going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it for you now because I love you too much. There is a line, a lot of it's ooh kind of stuff. But the one line is, just know that you're not alone. I'm going to make this place your home. And isn't home just this place that kind of gets in our heart and our head? Like, home just has this sound to it. Like, we love the idea of home. And then Wake Forest baseball this week, right? They did so well. They came so close to winning it all. And if you think about baseball or softball as a metaphor for life, right? Where do you start in baseball if you're batting? You start at home. And then you get on the bases, and it's a little bit scary on the base, a little bit risky. And then where are you trying to get to? Right back where you started, right? Home, that's where you're safe, you score. And what's the big thing in baseball? It is hitting a what? Home run, right? And then in a home run, you go all the way bases and you get right back where you started from. But that's your safe, you scored, everybody cheers. We love this idea of home, and it's just wonderful. And then HGTV, what is every show about? Creating a home. And there's a show called Hometown. And what do they do in Hometown? Well, they renovate homes one at a time so they can renovate the home town, right? But it starts with the home, and home is a beautiful thing. And not if we don't have home, we miss it, don't we? It's more of an idea than a place. I was at a nursing home this week and met a man named Tom. And I said, Tom, where are you from? And he laughed. He goes, I grew up in 12 different places. We moved 12 different times when I was a kid. And I go, were you in the military? He goes, no, textiles. I go, I didn't know textiles forced you to move, but it did. He had to go move different towns, and he didn't have a home. Like, and then he's at a rest home, and it's like home means something else. And if you grew up in a house that wasn't a home, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You may have grown up in a house, but it wasn't a home, because home is about safety, and home is about flourishing, and home is about being a place where you can be yourself, and you can come and you can take your shoes off, and you can make noises there you can't make other places, like most of us, right? And you can be yourself, and you relax at the end of the day, and it's good. But if you've never had a home, it's idealized in your mind, right? Home becomes idealized, the thing you're always looking for. You're always trying to find it, always trying to create it. And many of us left our home and moved somewhere else to create a new home, right? Here's my new home, and we have idealization of what that's going to look like, so we try to create it there, and it really seeps into our life. Today, we're going to read a passage where the word home is not in it at all, but it's in all through it. And it's really about following Jesus and about who he is and what he means to us and how to find home with him. We're in John chapter 10. We've been working through the book of John a little bit at a time, focusing on Jesus. Today it's verses 1 through 11. And as I read that, I want you to think about, what is home to you? What does that mean? And I want you to see what Jesus is talking about in our relationship with him. We're going to read it, go back through it. We're going to understand a little bit more who Jesus is. And we're going to understand a little bit more, I hope, at the end of the day, how we find in him what we're looking for. Verses 1 through 11, which will start there. Jesus is talking. It's kind of set apart from anything else before it, anything else after it. So just know that. He says, truly, truly, amen, amen, is how it's read in the original language. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But who enters the door by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper comes, opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. But he has brought out all his own. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee for him, for they did not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Before we go any further, let's pray over the passage. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And for anyone looking for home, a place to be safe, a place to be protected, a place and a mindset where they can flourish and be loved and become who they were created to be, I pray that today they'll find that in Jesus. And we pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. If you go back and look at this, let's start in verse 1, and we're going to kind of break it down a little bit. Go back to verse 1. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he does not enter by the sheepfold." See the word sheepfold? And if you don't know what a sheepfold is, because I don't know, how many people ever deal with sheep in the room? Not a soul. So this doesn't fit as easily for us, right? In Jesus' culture, this would have been really easy for them to just understand, because they saw it all the time. There was a lot of sheep going on in their area. But for us today, we don't really get it. What is a sheepfold? Like, I drive by sheep a lot there on the road Doral, which is there not far from our house in Bethania. And on either side, they look like sheep, but they're goats, I hear. But it's the same idea, right? And they don't have a sheepfold. They just have a pasture, but there's a fence around it. No, a sheepfold is different than that. It was either a cave or a series of rocks that made a wall, and then there was an opening in the middle, and the sheep would go in there, but it wasn't a home. It was just a temporary holding place for night, and the shepherd would move them around to different places, and then when they were home, right, for that very brief time, they were safe inside there. And the opening wasn't very big. We'll talk about why not in just a little bit, but it was when they were in there, they were safe, and then they'd move to another one, so they didn't have a home. They just had temporary resting places. And in this metaphor that Jesus is talking about, because it is a metaphor, he's talking about what does it mean to be home, and what the sheep understood is something different than what we understand. The sheep understood this. Home is this to a sheep. It's where the rest of the sheep are, and it's where the shepherd is. A home to a sheep is not a place, it's a relationship. It's where the rest of the sheep are, and it's where the shepherd is. That's where you're safe. That's where you're good. And we're going to talk about more of what that is about, but that's where home is. So for a minute, can you be a sheep? Can you picture that? It's probably hard, isn't it? Because we don't think like sheep, but sheep are down here, right? We're up here, and I want you to think about that and how they would look at life. And life was all about for them going out and eating and then going somewhere safe. Going out and eating, going somewhere safe. And they looked to the shepherd for all of that, and that was home to them. Now, in this passage, Jesus uses a couple of metaphors to kind of explain who he is. This is throughout John. In John, there's 7 I am statements about who he is and what he's about. The first one was, "I am the bread of life." The next one was, "I am the light of the world." The third one is in verse 7. For those who are working the journals, you might want to mark this down, where Jesus says in verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." You might want to circle that word door, write that down. That's the third I am statement. What he's saying is, when there's a sheepfold, again, it's either a cave or a rock wall that has an opening. They didn't have a door, they had the shepherd. And the shepherd would lay across the opening to protect the sheep. He says robbers go in over the sides and they can try to get in there, but they can't get by the shepherd because he's laying across the door, and there's no way in and no way out without going through the shepherd. And what he's telling us, there's no way to God's heaven, there's no way to God's kingdom, there's no way to God himself without going through Jesus. He is the door. He is the way. That's why at this church we focus on Jesus. Do we know the way to the Father? Do we know how to find him? It's through Jesus. And we have to know who Jesus is so we can know who the Father is, so we can have everything that he's ever talked about for us to experience in life. He's the door. The second metaphor in this passage, he's not just the door. Number 2 is, he's the shepherd. "I'm the good shepherd," he says. And that's a powerful thing that I hope we can grab today. I am the good shepherd in verse 11. Not just the door, but I'm the shepherd himself. And this is an ancient understanding of God and his people. Throughout the Old Testament, God was always seen as the shepherd, and the people were seen as the sheep. Now, we have to understand something. I don't work with sheep, but sheep are stupid. I'm sorry. That's just what they are. Everything I've ever read says sheep are stupid, and you're going, well, God, why is the metaphor we're the sheep and you're the shepherd? I don't get it. Well, God's saying something to us. Don't take it personally, but compared to God, we're sheep. Take that for all it's worth, all right? Sheep can't protect themselves. They need someone to show them the way, and they're not as smart as God. Can we just agree with that for a second? You don't feel stupid. Just say, I'm not as smart as God. Let's just say that. I'm not as smart as God. You are now a sheep. I've deputized you. You're a sheep, okay? You're there. And I want you to think as a sheep for a minute. You're down low, and you're looking up at the shepherd, and what does he look like to you? You're a sheep, you're looking up the shepherd. He looks strong and powerful because you're low and he's big and he's got a club in his hand because that's what shepherds do. And you don't have anything but your teeth, and your teeth aren't really for fighting. All you can really do is just lay there and get attacked, okay? So you need the shepherd. I want you to picture him really tall and big, and you're really small. You're a sheep and you don't know where to go and you don't know what to do and you can't see above what he can see, and we're sheep. But here's the thing. It says he's the good shepherd, meaning this, he wants the best for you. He is for you, not against you. He wants to lead you in good places. He has a plan for you. He has a direction for you. He is the good shepherd. He is not the thief. He's not here to take things from you. He's here to pour into you so that your life will flourish. He's the good shepherd, and remember that. Don't ever forget that. I am the good shepherd. Sheep and shepherds are nomads, right? Jesus, the Son of God, never had a home. Never had a home. He just went where the people were going. He slept in people's homes. That's what shepherds do. They go out away from everything. They give up for everybody else. And so he is the good shepherd. He goes, I'm with you. That's what makes it home. I'm with you. It's not a place. It's a relationship. It's being with the good shepherd. And he is for you, and he's good, and he wants the best for you, and he wants your life to flourish. In this passage, we're going to look at six things that's on your outline. You might just circle it in your thing or just remember those things that he's going to say. This is what the good shepherd does, so you know Jesus a little bit better, so you can process what you're going through in life. If you're in a valley, if you're in a tough place, you can look at this and go, okay, this is what the good shepherd does to help me. There's six things in this passage. We're going to follow along through the scripture. Number one thing the good shepherd does to help us is he calls us. He calls us. I don't know how important that is to you. It's extremely important to me to hear the master call. Like, this is who I am, and I'm calling you individually. And it says in John verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He calls you by name. 7 billion people in the world, and God knows you, and he knows your name, and he calls to you. And he calls to you more than once. It's not just the initial call, come follow me, but he calls to you constantly. He speaks to you constantly. And he starts off, if you look at scripture, he calls you by name. He speaks to you directly. I'm here for you. I have things for you. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. He speaks to us. And it says the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name. I, again, don't deal with sheep. I've had dogs, though. I don't know if that's a good connection or not. I'm just going to talk about two dogs that I know. One of them is like, I don't want to talk bad about a dog because you're going to think I'm bad, okay? But we have a dog named Jack the dog right now. He's a Jack Russell Terrier. We inherited him and his name. He's a runner, and we got him, and he's run away about 20, 30 times in our 16 years with him. It feels like 20, and he just runs. He just, if the door is open, when he was young at least, he would just go out. And the thing about Jack the dog, he would stand there on the door, and you'd call, Jack, come home, and he would run faster. Or what he really loved to do, he would come running toward you, and this is real, all right? He would come running towards you, Jack, Jack, and we get down to catch him, and he zooms away from us. He's like playing with us. He runs off in the woods, and he's gone. I mean, he's not like coming back. He's like gone. And like we're driving the neighborhood. I was used to drive the neighborhood and he would be running along the side of the road. I'd be right next to him. Jack, stop. And he would look and he just turned the other way. And he would come home when he wanted to come home. Now he's old. He can't run anymore. But you still can't get him to come. He comes to Bone. I don't know if he knows he thinks his name is Bone. I don't know. But he'll come for Bone. He'll come for ride, like I'm going for ride. And he'll come for walk sometimes. But mostly he just stands there and looks at us. And he will not come. He will not come. He doesn't know his name, or he doesn't like his name, or he doesn't respond to his name. I think he has a gypsy heart, and he was born for leaving. That's just Jack, all right? And those who knew Zach Brown, yes, I just quoted him at a service in a sermon, okay? And our other dog I grew up with is Happy the Dog, who was well-named. It was a West Highland Terrier. If I had to choose again, Westy would be the way I go. The thing about Jack is he runs. Happy comes to us. He used to. That was a dog I grew up with. I would go fishing, and we lived on a river, and we would go out fishing, take the boat out. If Happy wasn't there and he saw us, he would swim out to go find us. Remember one time he was swimming, his little head was way above the water. He's coming. His understanding of his strength is much bigger than what it was. And he would be sinking until all we could see was his nose. We're rowing as fast as we can. Go get Happy the Dog. Go save Happy. Pull him up. He would stand in the front, and he would watch where we were going. But the thing about Happy is he grew up in the days without leash laws, right? So if you grew up in the time without leash laws too, what'd you do with your dog? You open the door, go see you later. And they would go. He'd go exploring, and then it was time to come home. We went out and we cried, Happy. And what did he do? He came home. He always came home. You never worried about it. I'm concerned for some of us, which one are we more like? When God calls, are you like Jack the Dog? Yeah, I'm coming to you, God. I'm coming to you, I'm coming to you. And the last minute we swerve off. When we need help, we come to him and like, okay. Or are we more like Happy? I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you, Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice and I call them and I call them. God's still speaking today. Are we listening? Do we listen for that? He's the good shepherd. He calls us. Number two. Second thing, he leads us. He leads us. The shepherd leads. It's what shepherds do. They're different than driving cattle. It says in verse 3, again, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Another verse says he goes before them, and he's in front. And he's not asking for directions, which is interesting about Jesus. He doesn't turn around and go, which way do you think we should go? He leads us. Shepherds do that. I was reading a story about sheep one time, and the guy was in the Holy Land on a tour. And while he was there, the guide was in the sheep area near Bethlehem, where there's a lot of sheep. And he was telling the story how sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd's out in front, and wherever he goes, the sheep follow. He calls them by name. They have different sing-song kind of voices, and they'll call the sheep, and they just go where they're supposed to go. And he was telling this story about the difference between a sheep and a cattle. You know, you go out in front. And about that time, there was a hill, and over the hill came a bunch of sheep, and the front one had a bell on. And here the sheep come over with nobody in front of them but somebody behind them. The person behind them had rocks, and he was throwing them at the sheep. And he was driving them and yelling at them and just cursing them and driving them. And it was like exactly opposite what the guide had just told the people, what a shepherd does. So when he got close, the guide says, what are you doing? And the man says, I'm the butcher. I'm not the shepherd. I'm taking them to be slaughtered. And it made a lot more sense at that point that this was not the shepherd. It's the butcher driving them forward. In Holy Land, most of the sheep were to be sheared. They weren't for food. And the shepherd would go out in front of them, and he would know them by name, and they would go forward. And can I talk about us for a second? Is it okay? I've already said that you're kind of like sheep. You're not going to like me at the end of this, but can I just say for a second that sometimes we have a hard time following? Is that fair to say? Is that fair to say? Does anybody here rather do your own thing than what somebody else is doing? I mean, you can kind of raise your elbow to kind of agree to that, okay? Don't raise your hand. And those that really don't follow, you wouldn't have raised your hand anyway because I just asked you to. You were just sat there like this, and I'm not going to do what he told me to do, right? You would have not done it because we don't like to follow. We like to decide. We like to get in front and get to a place and go, hey, God, I ended up in this place. Can you bail me out now? Because I showed up here and I thought you wanted me to come here, but again, I didn't even ask you before. Now I'm here, I need your help. You ever done that before? I should have asked before I got here. But we don't. We get there, then we asked, bail me out. I'm somewhere off track. The road's over there. I'm lost. Can you take me back? And Jesus is going, let's talk about before you go. How about I lead and you follow? How about I be the shepherd and you be the sheep? Is that okay? He doesn't even ask if it's okay. He's just the shepherd. And at some point, I think we learn as we follow Jesus, it's a lot better when we follow than we ask for directions when we're lost, right? It's a lot better when we follow than having to ask for directions once we're lost. The shepherd goes out in front. He goes before them, and he leads them. Number three, the third one, is he saves us. He saves us. This is huge in a couple of different ways. In verse 9, again, Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He will be saved. In the Bible, saved means one of two things. First thing it means, when you're in trouble, you're saved out of it, right? I need to be saved. I'm in trouble right now. Would you come and save me? The second meaning of this is more the New Testament, to be saved by salvation, right? I'm saved from my sins. We're going to hit that in just a minute. Just for a minute, just think about this. This is a safe place. He takes you to a safe place. And in our world today, we need a safe place. And it's not a place so much as, again, a position. It's with Jesus. That's where you're going to find safety. You find it in him. And he creates that. And he is that. And he saves us from problems. If you're facing a problem right now, or someone you love, the only safe place is Jesus. The only safe answer is Jesus. He may lead you to different things to take care of you, but you go to him first. And you say, I need to be saved. I'm in a problem, in a hard place. And would you save me? And he does. And that's what we find in him. And we're going to come back to that idea in just a minute, but just kind of keep that in mind. If you're not feeling safe, if you don't feel like there's a home for you to go to where you can just be safe, it's in Jesus. It's not a place. It's a relationship. It's with the Savior. Number four, he provides for us. And this is huge for most of us as we deal with not having everything we need sometimes. In verse 9 again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I don't know what sheep have on their mind, but the one thing I know they want is to eat. I want to go where there's good food, and I want to go where there's plenty of grass, and that's all sheep think about. I think about food a lot. I'm looking forward to lobster dog tonight, all right? And then for those that don't do carbs, they have it in avocado too, okay? And they have lobster, and they have shrimp, and they have fish. It's not just lobster. We're just going to go hang out. But I'm already thinking about it today, all right? It's going to be fun. I'm just going to go hang out and meet you guys and hang out, and we're going to eat. And we'll be provided for. But be provided for every single day by God. He provides. And that's what he does. He's Jehovah Jireh. That's why we turn to him when we have issues with things that we lack. We turn to him. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 23, verse is 1 through 6, right? But verse 1 really calls to my heart. And in my devotions this week, this was one of the verses it pulled up. And it says in verse 1, this is New Living, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Is that true for you? In the devotion, it said to do this, make it a prayer. And they actually took the New Living. And they basically said, do it with your breath. So you breathe in and you say, the Lord is my shepherd. And you breathe out, I have all that I need. You breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd. And you breathe out, I have all that I need. You breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd. You breathe out, I have all that I need. Can you do that with me? Let's do that a couple of times. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. When you face a lack of peace, a lack of joy, a lack of abundance, a lack of vision, a lack of finances, a lack of hope. Stop. Take a breath. Pray. Lord, you are my shepherd, right? You are my shepherd. I have all that I need. I don't need anything else because I have you. Then you're at peace, and then you have joy, and then you have hope because you get rid of all the other stuff. We're human beings. We're not just sheep. And you're going to run into situations where you're going to need something you feel like. Stop and realize he's already given it to you. He provides. And just turn to him. Number five, as we close this up, two more. He gives us life in abundance. He gives us life in abundance. He says in verse 10, I came that they, the sheep, may have life and have it abundantly. If you have a journal, circle that word abundantly. Abundant life is not just having material things. You'll hear people say that. There's a whole theology about that. You're going to be rich. You're going to have all this stuff. That's not what it says in the scriptures. You can have all the material stuff and not have a bit of peace. You can have billions of dollars and your family can fall apart. You can have big house and walk around completely alone. It's not the stuff, it's the person of Jesus Christ who says, I want you to have a mission in life. I want you to have a purpose in life. I want you to have peace in life. I want you to have joy. I want you to have a relationship. I want you to have a place to turn to. I want you to have a place you're going to go to at the end of the day. And he wants to give us life in abundance. The last one, number six, is he is the good shepherd and he died for us, which is the huge thing that explains his love, explains his character, explains his mission and who he is as the shepherd. He died for us. Don't ever ask, does he love you? You don't need to ask. He died for you. There's nothing more he could have done for you. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So the robber doesn't do that. The thief doesn't do that. The thief takes from you. The shepherd lays down his life for you so that you can have life. That's what the shepherd does. And I'm still learning what that means. If you follow Jesus for any length of time, aren't you still exploring that? Understanding the fullness of that? What does that mean that he loved me that much, that his whole existence was pointing to the cross? Everything he did was pointing to the cross and then the empty grave, right? Every bit of that was all pointed to that period of time where he died and rose again so that we could have life and have our sins forgiven so we could be saved. And you go, what is Jesus doing now? He's building a home for us in heaven. And that's a powerful idea that we're moving toward, right? We're moving toward, there's more to this world than what we see because Jesus made it possible because he laid down his life for us. That's what the good shepherd does. And as you look at those things that represent Jesus, that's what home is. A place where you're called into, where you're going to be safe. A place where he leads you, a place where he saves you, a place where he provides for you. A place where there's abundance in Jesus. But most importantly, it's a place where you realize his great love for you because he died for you. I'm going to close up with just two questions to ask yourself. And I ask myself these same things. As we close up and think about Jesus, the first reflection question is, am I actively listening for the voice of Jesus? Are you actively listening for the voice of Jesus? What sheep do? They listen for the shepherd. He has things for you. What's he telling you to do? What's he telling you to do? What's he telling you to do next? What kind of person is he telling you to become? What reassurances is he speaking into your life? Are you listening? Are you in the Word listening? Is he talking about your relationships? What's he telling you about your heart? What's he telling you about your need to repent? What's he telling you about the hope that he has for you? Are you listening? And number two, am I willing to follow his lead when he does tell me? Am I really willing to do that? Jesus, wherever, whatever, however, I'll do it. Because I know that's where home is. I know that's where you are. That's what I want. He's the good shepherd. And he wants the best for you. But the only way to find that is by following him. Following him. So let's pray over by that now. Wherever you are with those two questions, reflect on them. Ask God about that. God, am I really listening? God, am I really willing to follow? because I want to, and I need your help. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word and the assurances of your word. Thank you for who you are, and I thank you for Jesus, the good shepherd, who leads and guides to the places we need to go, where there's pasture, where there's still waters, where there's hope, where there's healing, where there's provision, where there's answers to prayer, where there's the knowledge that someone cares about me, where there's home, real home with the shepherd. I pray for those of us here today that may be dealing with different things, we may be going through a valley. I thank you that you're going to lead us through. I pray for those who are just struggling with life. I pray they'll find hope in you, an answer today, a strength in you. And I pray for those that you're calling out to, maybe to change a direction or change a purpose. May their ears be open. May my ears be open to hear from you. We put all the things that we deal with into your hands, and we look forward to what you're going to do, because you lead in a good way, because you're the good shepherd. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. For our time of communion, again, I want to just point out to you the prayer cards that are there. Maybe take some time during communion before you even get up. Write something down that you want God to do in your life. An answer that you need, a direction you need, someone that you love that's going through a hard time. Just be open and honest with it. Say, God, I need this. If you want connection with that, put them into the card box out there on your way out. At the end of the service, there'll be a group up here praying. They just meet for prayer. They're just helping you go before the good shepherd and go, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I need. I need a good shepherd in my life. So I encourage you to do that today. For our communion, I want to go back to Isaiah verse 53, verse 6. It's a verse that was written 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. And Isaiah wrote, all we like sheep. Even then it was like, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. I heard one time that a lot of us consider sin, and I would answer this is probably true. Sin is things that we do wrong. I did this wrong, I did this wrong, this wrong. The scripture is more clear about this. It says sin is not so much a thing we do wrong as an attitude and a heart that we're completely immersed in. That we don't have anything good at all bringing to the table. It's not like we do these good things and here's a bad thing that we did, so that's the one thing. We bring nothing to the table. We just go astray. And because of that, Jesus had all of that dumped on him. The iniquity of it all was dumped on him. And he bore it on the cross. But we celebrate the victory over death that he brought to us on the cross. So that's what communion is about, the victory over the sin. Because we've all gone astray. We have all turned, every one of us, in our own way. So I'm going to pray, and then when you're ready, come forward, spend some time in prayer, receive the bread and the juice that represents his body and his blood. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you are calling us over and over. All the times we go astray, all the times we leave you behind, we do our own thing, we come back, and every time you welcome us. 99 sheep in a fold, and you go over the lost one. You go out searching for him or her, and you do it all the time, and I thank you for that. Welcome us back into the sheep fold. So, Father, use this time to speak to our hearts. Open our ears that we can hear, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're ready, the tables here have communion on either side and one in front. Receive the communion, return to your seats, and we'll continue our service and finish up.